Reward in achievement, reward in connection. The growth of homeschooling today in the Upper Cumberland. Public school enrollment in the first month across the Upper Cumberland, flat to down slightly. The reason given by most public school officials, the increase in the amount of homeschooling going on across the Upper Cumberland. So why has homeschooling grown, especially in the wake of COVID? We're talking homeschooling with Kelly Parkinson, Dana Siefker, and Tabitha Merritt. Our focus today is on homeschooling growing across the Upper Cumberland. Tabitha Merritt, Dana Siefker, Kelly Parkinson, they are all homeschoolers. Kelly, Dana, Tabitha, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Where did your homeschooling journey begin, Dana?
My homeschooling journey began when my oldest was 4 years old. My youngest one was kind of a sick baby, and my oldest was eager to learn. And so she just wanted to do school. So I just started off printing off some worksheets for her, and she loved it. And so the more we got into it, I kind of found out about this underground network of other moms that were really enjoying homeschooling and just different communities that we could be a part of. And we joined a co-op that year. And just found great friends, and it just grew from there.
Had you thought of homeschooling, or was that just really to print worksheets and let's see what she does?
I had never considered it. I had a friend that did homeschool, and I kind of thought she was a little bit weird, so I was never going to do that. But then just God kind of opened up this door and showed me that this is possible and that there were so many benefits. And year after year, like the benefits just expounded on each other. I'd be like, okay, number 677 of the reason why we homeschool. Another benefit. My girls were sweet friends. I had all this extra time with my daughters to be just investing in their lives. And even now my oldest is off in college now, and we're still just really good friends, where I didn't really have that with my mom when I was like a teenager. We struggled, kind of battle of the wills, but it's been a blessing. It's not easy, but it's been a great blessing for our lives for sure.
Kelly, how about you?
Well, my journey started with homeschooling when my family actually moved to Cookeville. My husband's job brought him here. He's the pastor of Stephen Street Baptist in town. And I'm the daughter of two public school teachers and never once thought about homeschooling. In fact, most of my life I heard homeschooling was bad or people are awkward or strange that homeschool. But when we moved here, we went and just toured some of the schools here. I was very impressed with our public schools here in Putnam County, but I really just couldn't shake something the Lord was telling me to do, and he just laid it on my heart that he wanted me to homeschool. And so that began our journey 8 years ago. So my three oldest kids actually started off in public school, and then we changed over to homeschool, and then my other three have been homeschooled.
Tabitha, how about you?
Well, our older daughter, we had two daughters. Our older daughter went to kindergarten, and I had always thought I was going to go back to work because I have a business background. So it kind of rocked my world to have a really poor experience for her in kindergarten down the road in Sparta. And it's not a bash of the system, but it's really was just an incompatibility of her personality to be there. She just couldn't take. The way I phrased it to our husband by the end of the school year was, they are killing all the things we love about our daughter. She just couldn't. She was crumpling before our eyes. And so there was no co-op. There was no Highland Rim. There was no private school option. I had looked at private schools in Nashville and was literally considering driving her to school every day in Nashville because I didn't have any other options. But the summer after kindergarten, had one friend that I knew homeschooled, and I thought she was a little bit of a geek. Mm-hmm. And I can say that because now she works with me at Peachtree. But I just had no idea what that looked like for her. So that summer, we actually had swim lessons together with our daughters did. And I picked her brain every day and came home and talked to my husband and just had this growing conviction that this was something we had to at least try. So pulled her out and did first grade with her at home, and with much trepidation because there was also no curriculum and there was nothing. So I'm older than both of these people and my girls are all grown now. So I can look back and say this was a great decision. But at the time it felt like we were going over a mountain instead of going through the mountain. And it just felt like this huge unsurmountable obstacle. But I also had a knowing in my knower that this was what God wanted us to do. And I didn't have another path before me that looked peaceful at all. So we jumped in, and every summer took it back before the Lord and prayed about what to do. I really thought for a while we'd put our second daughter in school and we might have two different paths. And then by the time she got ready to start kindergarten, it was a no-brainer to just keep her home. So our girls are great friends. to this day, and our family is very close. And I attribute a lot of that to the fact that we spent slap life on life together all day, every day. They saw the ins and the outs and the ups and the downs and the bad and the good, and it has all been woven together for them to be really pretty well-formed adults. I'll take no credit for that, but they're pretty genuinely well-formed people and totally socially adept, and none of the drawbacks that I'd heard about really came to fruition in them, so I'm very grateful.
So let me start then, because you all three of you alluded to this in some way, but I think, and again, people choose homeschooling like they choose everything for slightly different reasons, but in general, is homeschooling more about running away from the public schools or running towards something else?
I think it's both. I think a lot of people have different reasons. For us, it was totally unexpected and not on the radar, partly because my only exposure to it had been people that I knew who homeschooled back when it was illegal in Tennessee. So I had no positive connotations for that word at all. And there was no context for me to look at that and say, oh, that's a reasonable option. It was all bad. So that was part of what contributed to it being such a hard decision for us. I think it's much easier now, and there's a much wider range of reasons to do it now. But at the time, it just felt like something totally out of the blue and off the wall. But y'all might have different experience.
Yes, I would say mine is running towards something because we needed something. And my oldest was kind of ahead of the curve on learning. She was reading at 2. So I knew if I just put her in kindergarten, because I could have done that. That was still a choice. She would have just learned really bad habits because she would have been bored. And I spent a lot of years in public school as a bored kid, and I really didn't want her to be bored. I wanted her to kind of to grow. And homeschooling really is the best one-on-one tutoring that we can have for kids. And so I really wanted her to have that. And I thought, well, if she wants to learn more about reading or piano or art or science, or if she wants to just spend that extra time learning about a certain subject, we can do that at home. And having people go before me who had already done that gave me the confidence that this is okay. And I see their kids. Their kids are great. Like you said, they're achieving things. They're solid people. They're quality people. And that's what I really wanted. So I wanted something more. So I wasn't really running away from something. I was really running kind of towards that, the extra.
For me, it's probably a little bit of both, but probably more running towards something just because my three oldest started off in public school. There were some things that we experienced there that were hard. There were some great things too. We had some great teachers along the way. But there were some things that we came across that just was difficult. And I think in some ways it maybe laid the foundation for me choosing to homeschool in the future. But I'm the daughter of two public school teachers. I have wonderful friends that are public school teachers here in our county. Our schools are doing some amazing things, and a lot of our teachers are working hard to reach our children. But for me, the exciting thing about homeschooling is that I could pick a curriculum that really worked for my children. I have one that's special needs. I have some that struggle to learn. And just having that one-on-one time with them. And then also, I choose a Christian curriculum. And so I'm able to bring that part into our curriculum as well. And so it's just really special for our family to be able to have our own tailored educational program in our house.
Kelly Parkinson, Dana Seifker. Did I say that right? Didn't sound right. Here I was saying that's easy. Dana Seifker, Tabitha Merritt, our guest. We're talking about homeschooling. We're talking about homeschooling and trying to educate all of us about something that is growing in popularity. We just did a news story across the Upper Cumberland, and virtually every school system in the Upper Cumberland said their attendance is down, and it is in part because of homeschooling. Dana, why do you think it has become more popular, especially in the aftermath of COVID?
I think during COVID, a lot of students were sent home, and the system, though they were trying to save and protect people, I think they really didn't know how to handle that. And that was exposed. All the weaknesses in the system, and then sending kids home, and they weren't doing the things at home, and they kind of got lost in a hole. And then parents, you know, sometimes you don't realize there's a problem until there's a wound. And I think it exposed a wound in the system, and parents were like, wait, what are my kids learning? That whether it's a concept that the kids just kind of aren't getting, or it's concepts that they are understanding that they don't want their kids to see, you know, whether I don't want to get into politics, but you know, it could be anything. And I think it just raised an awareness for parents. Like, this isn't what I, this isn't the school experience that I had when I was young. And it's changed. And so I think that COVID did show some of that. And then it also, when the kids were home, now that everybody felt like they were homeschooling, although that was a little bit different because you're just using public school materials at home, they started talking to other moms who are homeschooling. And so they realized, oh, I didn't realize you homeschool, and I didn't realize you homeschool. And there's a bunch of people that actually do this, and they do really well. And so they see that it's possible. And so since they were already at home, they just kind of thought, well, we'll stay home and we'll see. We'll just try it. And I think that they're discovering that it actually is possible because there's so many different resources in our area that work and that make it work.
Because, Kelly, for a, what, 6-week period of time, parents were having to teach. Do you think some parents kind of got the message of, well, hey, this is not maybe as hard as I thought it would be. I can do this.
I think that I definitely had some friends who said that is like, oh, okay, this is how it works when they're at home every day. But for most of my friends kind of had the experience of what Dana was sharing is just they were realizing that maybe their children were learning some things they didn't want them to learn, or that maybe they could actually go further and learn faster than what the class was learning. And so that's kind of what I've heard more of along my friends that came out of COVID. But I also think that every year there's just another opportunity, another program that started for homeschoolers. There's just so much more out there for families to utilize if they're going to homeschool. You know, Tabitha was talking about how she had really had no support. Now there is so much support out there. So I think it makes it easier for moms and dads to make that step. In addition, our world has really turned their focus to extracurricular activities. There's just very sports-driven, arts-driven, and that is really beginning to take over families' lives. And so I think they see homeschool as an opportunity to have more time with their kids at home, and then they can spend that extra time in extracurricular activities.
You talk about programs. So for the person that has never done homeschooling, I mean, what are you talking about? There are programs available, that there are things available for parents.
I feel like a lot of people say, oh, I could homeschool for elementary school because my education kind of at least took me that far. I'm pretty good with my shapes and my letters, and I can read.
Pronouns and nouns.
Yeah, exactly. But I think high school, even middle school and high school, when they start talking about chemistry and biology and all these other classes, they're like, I didn't do so great in those classes when I was in school, so I'm not quite sure that I could do that. But say you have a student who loves sciences and they want to take classes and you really don't like it or you don't feel confident teaching, you can find classes for that. And so you can take your student to Peachtree or to different places and have them have another person actually instruct them and help them learn, and so they can succeed. So it's not, even though you're homeschooling, it's not all up to you as a parent. You just need to kind of find the resources and to get into that underground network. You know, you find different groups. And they help you. We help each other. Even though we're all in several groups, we're not really competitive. We really are just a support structure for the community.
So, Tabitha, you could almost find a faculty for your homeschooling, kind of?
You probably could, yes. The short answer would be yes. You could outsource almost anything you wanted to outsource. You could find a place to do that in this area within a 20-minute radius of Cookeville, for sure. And there are co-ops that are mom-driven, and then there's New Colossus, which has professional teachers on staff, and you get to go 2 days a week if you want. You can go 3 days a week if you want. There's options there, and I think that being able to tailor an education for your children's needs is very attractive. Even if you're still working full-time and you think, I don't have time myself, you could totally find other resources and get this done in a gentler, simpler way than plugging into an institutional system. And I hesitate to say that out loud, and it's not a negative thing, but I think a lot of people, you were talking about what happened during COVID, I think a lot of people awoke to the fact that education isn't sometimes in name only, and it's not necessarily what it started out to be. Mm-hmm. Historically speaking, education was done in small venues and in small spaces with small groups, and suddenly we're in the place of seeing a huge system that's just kind of a mammoth, top-heavy, not nimble gargantuan space that tries to make one size fit all. And as humans, we're not one size fit all. I mean, sometimes my pants are, but not usually education. I mean, my education for my two children at home was totally different from each other. I had one that jumped on the trampoline while she did her math facts, and the other one who wanted check marks on worksheets. And it was great to be able to tailor like we talked about before, like Kelly said, to be able to tailor and shape an education for each of them that tailor that fit what they were going to do and what and who they were made to be. And I think that's an attractive thing to be able to go say, my child is moving really fast in science. I would like for them to take biology in eighth grade. Well, we can do that. You can find somebody who'll do that. Mm-hmm. Or my child is really slow in math. I need someone who can speak to them as a fifth grader and teach them the third grade rudiments that they didn't get. You can also find that. So, and you can also do that at home with the answer book. I taught Latin for 6 years, but I'd never had a stitch of Latin, but I had videos and I had the teacher's manual and I dove in and learned Latin with them. And it's just, there's so many different ways of skinning that cat, so to speak, that I think moms and dads are really enjoying the idea that they can bring their children into a space that they feel more confident as people when they graduate and they're not told, they're not put in categories as easily or given specific goals per year, is if that makes sense. There's not as much testing. There's not as much pressure in those ways. And it's not that you're afraid of being tested, but it's just being able to do that in a way that complements your child's physique and makeup that I think is really attractive. So, yeah.
Sum est assunt.
Right.
How was that?
Yeah,
it's
great.
Was that good? Okay, thank you. A lot of years of Latin.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
What would your kids say about being homeschooled?
My daughter is a sophomore in college, and she loves the fact that she was homeschooled. She feels like she got the very best education that she could. When she was little, she would cry and say, please don't put me on the bus, because she didn't feel like she could share Jesus with everybody in the classroom. It was so cute. But no, she feels like she got a great education, and she's actually at Patrick Henry College, which is an elite a small conservative school on the East Coast, and she's doing very well. She feels like her education actually enabled her to succeed and to be prepared for college. And my other one is a sophomore in high school, and she loves it. She loves all the free time. She knows she can hurry up and get her work done so then she can go play outside or do sports or do the thing that she really enjoys, which is something other than usually her Latin.
But and we know how kids, they want to fit in and all of that. But in your experiences, your three collective experiences, were there those moments where, Mom, just let me go back and be, quote unquote, a normal kid in the school system?
My favorite story is one of my daughters coming to me and asking for homework because everybody she knew had homework. And so I said, you know what? We can totally accommodate that. You're in third grade. You should have homework. So we'll do school tomorrow and we'll be done about 11:30. And then I will give you extra worksheets and you can do those while me and your sister are outside playing. And she looked at me and she said, oh, wait a minute. That's what homework is? Yes, that's what homework is. It's outside of school hours. You get to do more school. And she said, oh, I don't want that. I said, you're welcome to try it out if you'd like, but you know, you don't have to. It's up to you. That was a really fun way for her to figure out that actually there was some positive stuff going on. She hadn't even taken, just taken for granted. So, but I would speak to what your question was. Both my girls are out and grown and married and actually both expecting. And I think both plan to homeschool partly because of their experience. I think they were able to find friendships that have endured way past high school. And not even with friends that are technically their age. So that was something else that was a bonus I didn't even see coming, was that they made friends kind of up and down the age spectrum. So they have friends older and younger than themselves. And that's something I don't think you get in an institutional setting either. So they've really loved being able to keep those friendships alive. And that's an extra bonus.
My daughter, who's still in high school, she sees her friends that are public school. And it's not that they're bad or anything, but she sees the differences because there is a difference between kids who go to public school and kids who homeschool. But the network of kids is so big in the homeschooling community that she feels like she doesn't really miss out on anything. But she sees the differences and she loves the differences. She sees that, you know, she doesn't have to worry about name brand and the latest electronic device and all this stuff. She's actually valuing the things that matter the most and that last through time. And she sees that she has the time to invest in deeper relationships with friends. Being a part of a youth group, she can see, you know, there's a third of the kids that go to the private school and a third of the kids go to the public school and a third of the kids that homeschool. And so she doesn't feel odd or weird. I mean, right. Like Tabitha's time when it was scary. Everybody's pulling their curtains to homeschool because you didn't want somebody to turn you in. It's not really like that anymore.
Right.
So I think it's just so
it's
accepted.
Much easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more resources too. There's, what is it, two classical conversations groups in Cookeville. And that's a great option because you go and you learn a classical model and then you go home and do that all week and add to it as you want. And Peachtree is kind of an a la carte place where you go and pick classes you want to take. And then there's fine arts and drama and music and all kinds of stuff there available. And New Colossus, we mentioned. There's so many other ways to do that that I think kids can almost get over-socialized. I remember that was the big question we got was, how are you going to socialize your kids? I'm thinking, I'm really not sure yet, but I don't like what we have now. So there's got to be something else.
Sometimes we have too many extracurriculars going on. We actually have to do our school.
Yeah. How about you, Kelly?
Well, my two oldest that had more time in public school, there was a few years once we started afterwards that they would kind of say, sometimes I wish I was in school or with some of my friends. But both of them have come back to me since then and said, Mom, thank you so much for homeschooling us. We really love this. And just as they mentioned, there are plenty of opportunities for them to get the socialization. And going to school for them really was about being with friends. And so now, I mean, it's pretty much I'm having to keep them from doing things. We're so socialized.
So let's hit on probably the basic question that I bet most people listening have. And Kelly, I'll start with you. What's a basic day like?
Well, it differs probably from home to home and sometimes even day to day in our house. But I have six children, and so I have to keep things pretty structured. So we strive to start school every day at 8:30 in our house. And we just have our set routine with my youngest. We're coming up with a sentence of the day. And today he started helping me spell that sentence. And we're writing it out in a little journal, and he's drawing a picture while my other kids are starting their math program. And we just kind of have our own set structure each schedule that we go through, and we just finish our different subjects each day. And sometimes, like the younger they are, they tend to finish a little bit earlier. But sometimes we are all done by lunchtime, and sometimes some of my older ones are not done until about 3:30. So it just kind of depends on what they have or if there's a big project due that week. So that part does differ.
What about grades? What about tests? Does that happen in a homeschool?
So we classically educate our kids, and it's assessment is not as it's not the same as public schools. So when they're younger, we assess. I mean, we're right with them, so we're their tutors. So we're assessing how they're reading. Are they reading more? Are they reading bigger words? And you know, just kind of gradually as we're moving through the things. Now, usually we use a math program, and we grade just like other kids have their math grades. So that's how we would assess. And grading is just looks different. You see how the students are doing. Where they need help, you just give them the extra help. And where they are, they're doing great, just give them more work because they love that learning. And then as they move into middle school and high school, now we're doing more of the structure classes. And we do assess the same things. We grade the sciences. We grade the history. We grade the projects. With classical conversations, you do a lot of presentations. And so you're able to see how they have put together the research and using their communication skills to do a team policy debate or to write an essay. And so those are more of the assessment tools. And so we're kind of looking at the whole person, not necessarily a checkbox for a specific thing. But we still assess and we still give grades just like they would in school. They have a transcript for high school. We use Exodus Christian Academy as our umbrella school, and they help us kind of keep everything legal with the state. And so in the end, when they're all the way finished through high school, it looks the same as if they went to public school. They just have different classes. I mean, sometimes they're named the same, like biology or English. And it's just like a regular transcript.
Tabitha, are you able to move faster in most cases in homeschooling because you're dealing with one student, or maybe it's two, or in Kelly, God bless her, with six?
I think faster and slower. I mean, I had both my girls actually, I was going back and reminiscing about that for a minute. We actually did a lot of subjects together. Mm-hmm. Since there were just two of them and they were 2 years apart. I did grammar with my older girl and let my younger daughter color, and then realized that she had actually memorized all the parts of speech and all the ways of sentence structure and knew all the things, and she was four. And so it was kind of a wake-up moment of, oh, she could also be learning. Let's do this together and see what happens. And so I read out loud to them all the way into high school every day for an hour, and one drew more pictures and one wrote more sentences about the things that we read, but they enjoyed the same literature that way, and we had great conversations about it, and it wasn't a segregating type process. They just did everything together except math until junior high school, and I loved that. I loved being able to just let them both do the same thing. We did a lot of I did a lot of tailoring projects to a little bit younger versus a little bit older, but that was so much fun to do it all together. I think I answered what you asked me.
Is it?
I did want to say something about the testing. When I first started, you know, I graduated from the public school system, the daughter of two teachers. And so I felt that it was necessary that I ordered standardized testing. And so we standardized tests for 2 years. And then I just kind of let it go because I realized everything that I was learning in that test was what I was already learning at home. Just as Dana mentioned, just assessing my own children, and each one of them had their own specific needs and things. And so I realized that wasn't really helping us. Now that I have a senior in high school, we're taking the ACT, and we're even finding now that colleges aren't requiring the ACT necessarily to get into college. Now those are things that are really just helping determine how much scholarship money you get. So really, in some ways, these standardized tests aren't necessary for most students,
right?
Public school or homeschooled. But even the standardized tests are changing. There's now a new classical. Is it the CLT? Mm-hmm. The classical new classical learning test for that can also help you get into colleges or help determine scholarships. So again, those opportunities are even starting to expand for homeschool families.
Mm-hmm. And even 10 years ago, it was different. I mean, we took standardized tests because our umbrella school required it starting in fifth grade. So we tested every year all the way through high school, and then they quit requiring it. And by that point, I was just at the place of, I want to know what they say. I want to know what the test says, and also to get them ready for the ACT, because I didn't know what their college choices would be, and I wanted them to be able to be equipped to do whatever it was they needed to do. So they took the ACT and did fine. And like you said, it just pointed out exactly the same things I was seeing at home anyway. So
I'm curious, and feel free to disagree with this statement, but you said something about that you could see what you already were seeing, which I guess teachers can probably see what they're already seeing. It's just you have 18 mm-hmm. of them.
Sure.
It's hard to see it.
Absolutely.
Right.
True.
I totally agree.
They have
with
a lot on them in the classroom. Mm-hmm. I have several public school teacher friends who say, mm-hmm. I commend you for what you're doing, because your children are really getting that one-on-one opportunity with a teacher where they don't necessarily, you know, I can't be that for all the kids in my class. And so, you know, I agree with you. I'm sure they see some of those needs in their class.
Absolutely.
They just can't address them all in the short period of time that they
have.
And
part of that goes back to what we said earlier. I think education is not necessarily the focus of every classroom anymore. So I think the system requires so much stuff besides the actual core of teaching. And a lot of students come with baggage to class that didn't used to exist also. Mm. So teachers have to deal with that and have to deal with interpersonal connections that are just difficult, that I think a lot of time is spent on that they really can't devote to one-on-one. I grew up in public school, of course, as well, and I had lots of one-on-one time with teachers. As the day moved around, you talked to your teacher one-on-one, and I don't think that happens a lot anymore at all.
All right, so let me throw an unfair question out, okay? So there would be some who would say, all right, people are homeschooling because their children don't want to have the discipline, or the parents don't want their children to have the discipline that is required to sit in a classroom and do those things? Or is it that people are homeschooling because there are so many issues that are now there from other children who are not disciplined? I know that's a very overreaching overgeneralization, but can you give us a sense of that? From your own experience and from those that do it.
Yeah, I think there's lots of different kinds of homeschooling. So you have people who want to have a high rigor of academics, and they'll do that. They'll provide that. They'll look for all the opportunities, all the classes, all the help that they need, and it's out there. And then there's another group. There's all different kinds of groups, but there is another group called unschooling. And so they want to do more like life skills and study, and their kids know how to read and they know how to do math, but they want more just practical skills. And I think there's a place for that, too. Society needs all kinds of people. And so they may be a little more kind of loosey-goosey with their academics. But in the end, they have a vision for their child and what they want their child to succeed with. If the child wants something more or different, by the time they get to middle school or high school, they're probably going to voice that. We live in a culture where people don't really hold back. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they will voice that. If they're trying to get away from something kind of unruly in class, I think that's okay, too. They might be. There might be a bully in a class. There might be a group. Maybe they have felt left out. But then they can find out that they can come and they can homeschool. And that's okay, too, because they can come and find community in a group and feel like they are accepted because they are individual people and they were made for loving relationships. And if they have to come home in order to find that, that's okay too.
And something important to notice, I think, too, is that coming out and homeschooling doesn't mean you're tied to that forever. That's not a forever choice. You can do that year by year. Mm-hmm. So I know several families who homeschooled for a year or two and then felt like they'd gotten past a hump mm-hmm. or felt like they'd gotten a little more solidifying of the child's own character, and the child was able to go back into the schoolroom and do what they needed to do. It can be a tool and not just a lifestyle. It can be a tool to use for a brief amount of time, and then you can go back and try again. And I love that we live in a state that allows all those options and supports all those options. I think that's something that's easily taken for granted. But I am old enough to remember the time when it was illegal in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So I'm very grateful and don't take that for granted that people can make the choices that are best for their own family. And that's something else. The individual responsibility behind being a parent is something that's both beautiful and weighty. And it's great to be able to live that out here.
And to that point, there are requirements for homeschooling.
Sure. I mean, there are.
You have to meet certain
Absolutely.
Thresholds just like a regular second grader has
Absolutely.
To meet.
Absolutely.
And so that makes it easier to go mm-hmm. back and forth if you make those
right.
decisions. All right, Kelly, I'll start with you on this one. Moms, and obviously there are fathers who do homeschooling as well, but we've got three moms here. Moms already have dual roles. You know, moms are the disciplinarians. They're also the, you know, love you up and it's going to be okay. Is there sometimes difficulty in also being the teacher?
There are days that makes that hard. But overall, it is a role that I hope that I've just embraced well. My kids see the worst of me also on some days. But for them, I think they see me as teacher, but they mostly see me as mom. And it's just mom who loves me and is trying to teach me this is really, I think, the way that they view me.
How about you, Dan?
I think sometimes it's hard to, especially since the way that the program that we use, they go to a classroom once a week. And so they sit with who they call a teacher, but they're actually called their tutor. And so my child specifically, she'll have a project due or something, and I will have tailored it for her and said, you're doing it this way, you're doing it this way. And she'll be like, Mom, my teacher says this. Like, well, no, who's your teacher? And she goes, oh, wait, it's you. And that's right. Who loves you the most in the world? Oh, it's me. Yeah, it's your mom. I know you best, and I know our family circumstances. And so that kind of balances that out a little bit. And like Kelly said, they do see us at our worst. And sometimes, I'm just going to say it, hormonal girls are really hard sometimes. But what she sees is I never give up on her. Even though it's a struggle, even though she has this project that's really hard, even though she has this other thing, I work through it with her, and we go through the trenches, and I think that it makes us closer as individuals because one day she's going to be grown up, and hopefully we'll still be friends. But I think that she sees me as her mom and her teacher, and we're their teachers anyway. We've just assumed the role and put the label on. But we are actually, I mean, it doesn't matter if they go to public school or private school or their home school. We're still their teachers.
Right.
We're leading them through life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's a question that I bet is being asked by someone listening right now. How do you keep your sanity? And Kelly, I got to start with you with six.
Well, I actually just did something for my personal sanity just 2 weeks ago, and I just have to do this every once in a while, but my husband just let me go off for 2 days by myself, and I truly just sit and sleep, and sometimes I, you know, read the Bible, and I just pray, and I pray about our school year and what the Lord has for our family, and it just really just fills my cup. To say it just gives me, it re-energizes me, and I come home and actually everybody in the house is like, Mom, you seem so relaxed. But just having those couple of days to myself really just allows me to kind of get everything back together. And then, you know, I still have days where it's hard or something's rough, but ultimately I can always fall back on that. I know the Lord asked me to do this. And so I can go back to that call and just say, I know I'm being faithful. And just like all the things the Lord calls us to do, it's not always easy. And so I just have to remember that call.
Tabitha, is it, I mean, now being in the working world as you are, mm-hmm. is it just like a job? It's just you're doing it at home?
You mean homeschooling?
Homeschooling. I mean, that you have to, you know,
right?
Kind of like when you get home from the office, you got to take a break before you become mom. Do you?
No, I didn't. I never separated it quite like that. Okay. I mean, we had days of school, and we always did our school work. And most of the time, it was in the morning, just because everybody gets tired in the afternoon, and you don't want to start something at lunch. But there were definitely days when we got up and did other things in the morning, and then came to do our schoolwork in the afternoon. We did it in the living room. We did it in the kitchen. We sat around the kitchen table and did work while we ate lunch so we could finish quicker. We had a school room, wink, wink, and there were desks in there when they were young. And then I got smart and I put beanbags in there instead. but we never really separated it quite that cleanly. It was more just a rhythm of life. For me, I never turned off. I still edit my children's work, spelling, because I have one who's not a speller, probably was a little dyslexic. And so I don't feel like it was a different gear in that way. I had a career before, and so I know what it feels like to turn on the work face and turn it off when I get home. And I never did that with them. No, we were always up and dressed and doing school because I just wanted that piece of structure in place. But as they got older, I actually got more relaxed, and we did a lot more pajama school when they were older than we did. And I wish we'd done more of that when they were younger. I started off, I think, with more structure than we ended with. But I think part of that was me having to grow into the idea of this does not have to be segmented. It does not have to be separated from the rest of life. It's just a breathing part of who we are. So I don't think that's ever really quit. I still feel like Dana said, like, we're still a mentor. I'm still a coach. I'm still their biggest cheerleader and their biggest fan and their worst critique all at the same time.
And on that, I think that them seeing us learn. So I'm always learning. I'm always trying to do something new, whether it's, you know, picking up the ukulele or trying to learn my Latin just alongside my kids. I'm always learning. And so I'm always thinking about, like, what she's doing. Even if it's Saturday, we do school on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Should she be doing something? She sees me learning. And so I just want her to have both of them, a love of learning for life, right? So we have to do certain things because it's school. There's certain things. But then we finish that and we go on to the next stage of learning. Like, now I have time, some extra time. I want to learn what I want to learn.
Right.
And so I don't feel like it's shut off. I'd say that only day I'm really shut off is Sunday, because I'm really focusing on that day of rest and finding my strength in the Lord. And I mean, I don't even hardly answer my cell phone on Sunday. So that's kind of my shut off day.
Yeah.
And the other thing I do is really get up early. Being up before the kids is key. Yeah. And getting that time to, you know, drink my coffee and to kind of get myself settled. And then, like, when my kids were little, they wanted to wake up at the same time as me, but they had a rule. They couldn't leave their room till 6 a.m. So they had to stay in there. They could be awake, but they had to stay in their room because I needed to be awake and ready first.
Your kids deserve an award for wanting to be up before 6 a.m. I mean, gee whiz. That's pretty amazing. As we wrap up our time together, do you think that homeschooling is more accepted in the general population today than ever before? Dana,
in this area, for sure.
Yeah, I would say it definitely is. I think that there's been proof from, like, Tabitha's kids' generation where they've grown up and they're. I think the worry is my kids are going to. There's weird kids everywhere. Let's just admit it. But my kids are going to be those weird kids. They don't have social skills. They're not going to have communication skills. And Tabitha did the hard job. She went through the generation where it wasn't necessarily legal then, but
it was legal. But
it was legal. But it was hard. We didn't have resources, and it was different. And she proved that it can be done. And you have good quality adults who are thriving in society. They can have communication skills. They can talk to people. They have, you know, they're contributing to society. And I think that once people see the outcome, I mean, colleges are even seeing this. They see, wow, some of these homeschool kids are coming in with actual good study skills, and they're able to sometimes do better than even the public school kids. So the proof is there now. And so I think people are like, oh, and since there's so many of us, it's like, oh, well, my neighbor down the road, she homeschools too, and her kids are actually really sweet. So I think it's just the more we see it, the more accepted it actually is.
I would agree with that. I feel like as a whole, and even my parents who are public school teachers were not happy about it at first. They've even come around and said, wow, we really see how these kids have grown and what they're learning. And so just hearing that even from them is great. I will say there's still questions out there and people don't fully understand. I mean, just something I've run into recently, having a senior, we're trying to apply for scholarships everywhere. So just even in our local community, I'm trying to hit up every place to apply for a scholarship. And they're like, well, where do they go to school? And when I say homeschool, they're like, well, I don't know if they can apply. And that part's frustrating because we are Putnam County people. We pay taxes here. We actually pay for all these kids to get an education. And so sometimes I'm still reminded that we're really fighting for a lot of things still. But ultimately, I feel very accepted. I mean, my kids play public school sports, and they've been very welcomed by all the teams that they've participated with. And so it's coming along. There's just still some things out there. I think people are, in fact, one of these particular groups that we applied for with the scholarship just said, well, we'll have a board meeting and then we'll get back to you. And I thought, well, maybe that's just a right step right there.
Yeah, that's good.
Tabitha, but you?
Absolutely. I mean, I can laugh now about the fact that it felt like we were on an island. Mm-hmm. And I was nervous about going out to the grocery store before about 1 o'clock, you know, when my kids were little. Because not because we were doing anything wrong, but because I didn't want to be seen as that strange. I didn't want my kids to be earmarked as those strange kids. And so we did stay in every day. We didn't go out. And now it's just everywhere. You go into a store at 9 o'clock in the morning, you see kids in there with their mom, and you think, oh, they must be homeschooled. And then there's nothing strange about that anymore. And in a way, that's a fresh breath. I think that's a positive thing, because I think the more people that think outside the box, the better the box will become as well. I think teachers, we have a lot of really beautiful people teaching in public school systems, very earnestly desiring what's best for those kids. So I think taking some of the pressure off of them and letting the school system see that people are willing to do what's best for their children will do nothing but improve the system as well. So I feel like that's a positive thing all across the board.
Mm-hmm. I'd want to encourage you to have each one of our kids here as an interview. Yeah. And see what they say.
Yeah.